If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10. And we'll begin reading with verse 1 down through verse 16. John chapter 1 and verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 1. If you already found it, you'll be all right. Anyway, John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but cometh up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they are which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not his of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. We thank you for your word that we can come and read and hear from it and hear from it being preached. Father, we thank you for our pastor. And Lord, we just pray that you'll fill him with your power, with your spirit, and that you'll speak through him and speak to our hearts. And Lord, I do pray for each one that's here tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you'll fill them with your guidance, your direction, your mercy, and your grace, your love. And Lord, just meet each and every need that we have. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that doesn't know you as our personal Savior, that tonight will be the day of salvation. And we thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have been studying the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings, and I kind of reversed it for today, and we're going to look at John chapter 10 tonight, since we talked about never forget and some things that we do not want to ever forget in relation to our Savior and the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross at Calvary. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject, the Good Shepherd. And as we think about the Good Shepherd, we know who that Good Shepherd is. Two men were called on in a large classroom one day to recite the 23rd Psalm. One was a published orator, trained in speech and technique and drama. He repeated the psalm in such a powerful way, when he finished, the audience cheered and even asked for an encore that they might hear his wonderful voice again. Then the other man, who was a much older man, repeated the same words. As he began, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And as he finished reading the psalm, no words came from the large audience in that classroom. Instead, it is said that the people sat there in very deep devotion and prayer. And the first man, the orator, stood up to his feet and he said to the crowd that day, he said, "Folks, I have a confession that I need to make to you." He said, "The difference between what you have just heard from my old friend and what you heard from me is this. I know the psalm. My friend knows the shepherd." And there's a big difference, isn't there? And we know that the shepherd is the good shepherd here in John chapter 10. He says in verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Now, I just want to say a few words in introduction that I may come to it another time. I don't have time to go into it all. But a good study of this 10th chapter is just studying the word door, because every time the word door is used in this chapter, it does not mean the same thing. And if you try to make it mean the same thing, you're going to run into some problems. In verse 1, he says, "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." In verse number 7, if you look over there, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Now, in one case, he says he's the door. But in verse number 1 here, he says, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Now, if this door is the same door as verse 7 and 8, where Jesus is the door, let me ask you a question. Can anybody climb in any other way to heaven? No, they can't. So if it's possible for somebody to climb in some other way and he's a thief and a robber, then this door isn't the same door that he's talking about in verses 7 and 8. And look at verse number 2. He says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the" what? Shepherd. See, in verse 2, he says, "The one that comes in by the door is the shepherd." In verse 7, he says, "I am the door." It's two different things. Verse 2, the shepherd's coming through the door. Verse 7, the shepherd is the door. And so there's a good study there and just a couple of thoughts in relation to that. But do some study in the Word of God. When you come to something that doesn't fit or does somehow, you say, "How does that work?" You can always rest assured God's word's always correct. Amen? There's no contradictions in the word of God. And that's why the Lord says to us, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." So he talks about the door, and he says, "He that entereth," in verse number 2, "by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." One of the many images that John paints for us in this wonderful book, the Gospel of John, and probably the most descriptive picture that he paints of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that he is the good shepherd. Like the shepherd, Jesus is concerned for the welfare of the sheep. And as Jesus delivered this sermon on the heels of healing the blind man that we talked about last week in the temple, he clearly declares his identity, and he very plainly states for us his purpose and his plan. And in these verses in John chapter 10, you can see a little bit of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as it's put on display for you and I. He reveals his great love for the sinner. He reveals his plan for how to deal with sin. And I want you to tonight ask yourself the question, do you know the psalm, or do you really know the shepherd? Do you really know the shepherd? If you do not know him, then I want to encourage you to get to know him. Come to know him. Give your life to him and let him be your shepherd. I want us to take a few minutes to look at this good shepherd. Why does Jesus deserve the title the good shepherd? There are several reasons why he is called the good shepherd. First of all, he possesses the right credentials. He possesses the right credentials. And there's an insert in your bulletin from this morning that has the notes in there. Anybody not have one of those and would like to get one? I think the guys gave them out. All right, Miss Yvonne needs one. Does anybody have any extras there? Miss Yvonne needs one. Anybody? Deborah? Okay. Robin? They're only $10 tonight after the service starts, so. All right. We're still struggling with the projector, so bear with us on that. One of these days, we'll have a healing service and we'll get it fixed. Right after we have a murdering service and take care of the sound booth guys. No, it's not their fault. It's not their fault. They've done everything they know. We've done everything the techs have told us to do, and it still isn't working right. So we'll get it figured out one of these days. He's called the Good Shepherd. You need one, Brother Dick? Oh, okay. Oh, all right. All right, who else needs one? Where's John? John? You missed all those people? No? Oh, they came through another door. They went through the other door, right? That doesn't make them a thief and a robber, does it? No, okay. All right. He is the Good Shepherd, first of all, because he possesses the right credentials. Now, how do we know he possesses the right credentials? Several reasons. First of all, he came properly. In verse number 1, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Jesus uses the imagery of the sheepfold to illustrate his message here of the coming through the proper door. The sheepfold in the Bible days was a circular wall, corral, many times as high as 10 feet tall, and it had a singular opening to get into it, of which oftentimes after the flocks came into the sheepfold, the shepherd would lie in the opening of the door, and he literally became the door. So get the picture in your mind. Here's the sheepfold, and a lot of times there was more than one shepherd in the sheepfold, not more than one shepherd for each group of sheep or flock of sheep, but there were sometimes several flocks that would come to the same sheepfold at nighttime for protection. And so they would come in, the sheep would intermingle, there would be sometimes several shepherds within it, and one of them would lie in the opening and would serve as the door. Nothing could get in that sheepfold, and nothing could get out of the sheepfold without having to go through the shepherd. That's why Jesus later on said, "I am the door." He was the shepherd that lays in the door. See, when you come to know Christ as Savior, you get into his sheepfold. Nobody can get in except through Christ, and nobody can get out except through Christ. Aren't you glad God gives us eternal security, and it's based on not our ability, but on his ability? He's the one that's guarding the door. Amen? You can trust him. He'll take care of it. So, the shepherd always comes in the right way. And Jesus came in to the sheepfold the right way. He proves to us that he's the shepherd of the sheep because he came into this world the right way. He entered according to the plan that was given to us and was given to him in the Word of God. He presented his credentials to the people. I want you to notice the proof that he came the right way. How do we know he came the right way? Well, first of all, he had to be virgin born, didn't he? He came the right way. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew 1:21-23 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. We know Jesus came the right way because he came having been born of a virgin. No other shepherd qualified. No other shepherd came the same way the true shepherd came into this world. Secondly, not only was he born of a virgin, he had to be born in Bethlehem. It was prophesied in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." Then you get over to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So he had to come virgin born. He had to come from Bethlehem. Thirdly, he had to come in the fullness of time. He had to come at the right time. The Bible says again in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. God put all the timing together. When Jesus was born, all the timing to get the taxation at the right place and to get them to have to go to Bethlehem for Jesus to be born there. In the fullness of time, he came at the right time. And then he also proved that he was the shepherd in that he had been brought out of Egypt. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was brought out of Egypt. Hosea 11 verse 1 says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Matthew 2:14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. He was born in Bethlehem, but you remember the warning that came by the angel. You remember reading about it. You didn't hear it. We weren't there, were we? But we can take God at his word, can't we? And he said he had to flee and go into Egypt and waited there until Herod was dead, and it was safe for him to come out of Egypt. So all of those things proving that he is the right shepherd. He came in the right way. He arrived, and his arrival provoked the rage of the enemy. In Jeremiah 31, verse 15, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. What happened to her children? Remember, Herod had all the children, 2 years and younger, put to death. He was trying to wipe out the promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 2, verse 16, it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. He was the right person. He was born in the right place. He arrived at the right time. He was summoned from the right country, and he was attended by the right sign. All of those things together tell us that he is the shepherd that came into the fold through the right door. He was not a thief. He was not a robber. He's the right person. He possessed all the proper credentials, all that was necessary to prove that he was the good shepherd and is the good shepherd. When the Lord came with the right credentials, the porter that opened the door to the sheepfold was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist openly introduced the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And he introduced Jesus to the nation of Israel, and he declared his identity to them. So first of all, he came properly. He was the good shepherd. We know it because he came properly. Secondly, I want you to notice, he calls properly. He calls properly. There may be several flocks sharing the same sheepfold. Several sharing sheepfold. You get all those S's in there just right. But they're in the sheepfold. There's a whole bunch of them. Several shepherds. Several flocks of sheep. But when the shepherd of the sheep walks into the door, or walks to the door and is ready to leave the sheepfold, he calls his sheep, and they instantly recognize his voice and respond to him. They know his call. Told you this morning about a story I read about a man in Australia. He was arrested and charged with stealing a sheep, but he claimed emphatically that it was one of his own that had been missing for several days. And so when the case went to court, the judge was puzzled. He didn't know how to decide the matter, and so at last he asked that the sheep be brought into the courtroom. Then he ordered the plaintiff to step outside and call for the animal. When the plaintiff stepped outside and called, the sheep did nothing. Just raised its head and looked a little bit frightened. And then the judge instructed the defendant to go to the courtyard and call for the sheep. And when the defendant did so, he made his call, and the sheep all of a sudden bounded toward the door where the shepherd was. It was obvious that he recognized the voice of his master. And the judge said, it's his sheep. His sheep knows him. Slammed the gavel down, said, case dismissed. So it is with the lost soul. There are many voices which compete for our attention out in the world, but But there is a special note that comes to us from the voice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when He calls, everything changes, doesn't it? He said in John chapter 6 and verse 44, "No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day." The lost sinner is dead. He's dead in his trespasses and sins, but he is awakened by the call of the Holy Spirit. And Paul said in Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath He quickened." He's made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, the voice of the Good Shepherd is the only voice that can awaken the dead heart of the lost sinner. But when He calls, we know His voice. He came properly. He calls properly. There's a third thing. He commands properly. He commands properly. Look at verses 4 and 5. It says in verse 4, "And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." When the shepherd calls for his sheep, He goes before them, He calls them, and they immediately follow Him. He does not have to drive them. That's for the goats. The sheep He calls, and they follow. He leads them out. They follow close behind Him. And what a wonderful truth that is. When a soul is saved by the grace of God, we will have a desire to follow the Good Shepherd. We'll have a desire to listen to His voice and to hear His voice. Our heart is right with God. We don't have to be begged. When we are a, is that good English? When we are a sheep? When we're a sheep, when we're one of those that are part of the fold, and the shepherd calls, if we're His sheep, if we've been saved, we're born again, it's not difficult for us. We don't have to be begged to come to church and worship the shepherd. We don't have to be begged to tithe. We don't have to be begged to share our faith, because we know the shepherd and we hear His voice. We have a burning desire and burden to follow the shepherd. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know the verse, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Our heart's desire is summed up in what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. He said, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." God said, whatever you do it for God's glory. Follow your shepherd. Do it for His glory. Do what He wants you to do. So, we find He possesses the right credentials. Secondly, I want you to notice that He possesses the right character. He possesses the right character. And you see that, first of all, in His personality. In His personality. In verse number 6, He says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, and they understood not what things they were which He spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before Me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door," He says in verse number 9. In these verses, Jesus now reveals His identity to us as the door. He's that shepherd that lies in the doorway and protects the sheep. If you'll remember, there's only one opening going into the sheepfold. It's only one way to get in and one way to get out. It was that opening the shepherd would lay in and would place his body there to protect the sheep. Therefore, the shepherd himself became the door of the sheep. Nothing could enter in and nothing could come out without going through the shepherd. If anyone desired to come into the fold of God, they have to come in through one door, don't they? The Lord Jesus Christ. He himself is the door. He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." In Acts 4:12, He said, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." 1 John 5:12, He said, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Jesus is the only way to the Father. Any other way leads to death and to damnation. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This may seem narrow-minded, and it may seem out of step with the popular thinking of our society and of our world today, but it is perfectly in line with what God says in His Word. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, he said, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." So you see his personality. Secondly, you see his performance. Notice his performance in verse number 9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Jesus plainly tells his listeners that he alone is the door to heaven, and that he alone is the door to salvation. He promises that those that enter him, enter through him, will be saved. That is, they will be rescued from the wrath of God. They will experience the full salvation of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The word saved means to be rescued from all harm and danger. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I've been rescued. Amen. When a sinner comes to Jesus, he's born again. He is forever delivered from the awesome wrath of an almighty God. Rescued. John 5:24 puts it this way. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." I'm glad we're going to live. In Romans 5:9, it says, "Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." We're saved from the wrath of God. We never have to fear hell. We never have to fear eternal damnation forever and forever. It's wonderful to be eternally saved and free from the fear of dying as a lost person and ending up in hell forever and ever. I'm grateful for the salvation that I have in Jesus Christ today. So you see his personality, you see his performance. Thirdly, I want you to see his promise. Look at his promise in the end of verse 9 and then again in verse 10. He says, "And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You see, the thief is a threat to the sheep, isn't he? He's going to try to steal the sheep. When a thief enters the fold, his primary purpose is to use the sheep for his own gain. He does not care about the welfare of the sheep. And by the way, you can tell a lot about a false prophet, a thief, a robber, by what their motives are. Are they wanting to use the sheep for their own purposes, for their own gain? Do they care about the welfare of the sheep, or are they just thinking about themselves? I'm afraid we have a lot of false shepherds in our world today that all they care about is getting more money, building bigger houses, having more cars. All they're concerned about, they're not concerned about the welfare of the sheep. The good shepherd, on the other hand, comes so that the sheep might experience life. And he says that they might have life and that they might have it, what? More abundantly. Jesus said, "I want you to have life. I want you to have abundant life." He wasn't worrying about what he got out of the sheep. He's wanting to do something as the shepherd. And that's where we have the privilege of being under-shepherds in the church. When you have an under-shepherd in the church, find out if he's more concerned about himself or about the sheep. And you'll know whether he's a true shepherd or a false prophet. When Jesus Christ enters into our life, he changes us. He makes us a new person. He gives us abundant life. And what a difference it makes when he comes into our lives. I like what he says over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. You know some of those verses. He starts out there in verse number 1 of Ephesians 2. Listen to what he says. I'll get there in just a second. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. He says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." He's quickened or made us alive. Now listen to verse 2. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But look at verse number 4. It says, but God. But God, who was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. What a tremendous statement. Just those two words say. He said, you who were dead, you were all of these things, but God came into your life. God saved you. God set you free. God changed you. You know how he changed us? He gave us some of his character, didn't he? And so we find that he possessed the right credentials. He possesses the right character. Thirdly, I want you to notice, he possesses the right concern. He possesses the right concern. And notice, if you would, with me how he shows us that. First of all, his concern is proven by his sacrifice. In verse number 11, in John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? Giveth his life for the sheep. Good shepherd, notice his concern is proven by his sacrifice. He says in verse 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. See, he's more concerned about what he's going to get, not concerned about the welfare of the sheep. Jesus explained the difference very clearly for us. The hireling is there only for the paycheck. When trouble comes, he runs away and he leaves the sheep to be devoured by the wolves. The shepherd, on the other hand, owns the sheep. He has a vested interest in their welfare. Therefore, the good shepherd is willing to pay any price to protect his sheep, even if it means that he has to lay down his own life for the sheep. Jesus has proven that he's the good shepherd because he saw the danger that came to the sheep and he did not run away. Aren't you glad he didn't run from the cross? If anything, he ran towards the cross. The Bible said he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. He did everything in his power to save them. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took our sin. He didn't run. He was not an hireling. He took our sin. The waywardness, the sin in us. The very thing that separates us in our fellowship from God. Jesus took that sin on himself so that instead of us being separated from God, we could be brought back in reconciliation and fellowship with God. But in order for that to happen, Jesus on the cross had to be separated from God. And he cried out from that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken so that we could be welcomed and become a part of the family of God. In John 3 and verse 18, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In Romans 6:23, we know the verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus did something to change the wages of sin, to change our condition, to change the fact that we were dead and on our way to eternity in hell. He went to the cross. We talked about the verse this morning in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:15, he said this, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Jesus was called upon to endure the terrible death that sinners ought to have to go through. There is no more horrible death known to mankind than the crucifixion. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go through all of that suffering and pain and agony so that you and I could spend eternity with him in heaven. He loved us. He endured the wrath of Almighty God in order that we might enjoy the fellowship of Almighty God. In Hebrews 9:22 it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood. As the good shepherd, as the great shepherd, he shed his blood so that we could be redeemed and could have eternal life. And then I want you to notice not only his concern is proven by his sacrifice, but his concern is proven by his sheep. His concern is proven by his sheep. Look at verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Notice this, and am known of mine. He said, I know my sheep, but there's something else. My sheep know me. Do you know the Lord tonight? If you're saved, he knows you. But if you're saved, you know him. You know him. Jesus speaks of the bond that exists between him and his sheep. And what a wonderful bond that is. They know him. They will not follow another. The shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. And a good shepherd can tell the sheep apart. I remember some years ago I had the opportunity of going on a trip to Israel. And I still remember we were coming down sort of this mountainous area. And it was desert. You could see all out over the fields and the hillside. And I saw a flock of sheep. A shepherd was coming down this way towards the road that we were coming down on. There was another flock of sheep over here, and they were coming down this way. And they met together at that road in front of us, and they just kind of meshed together, and then they went right through each other, the flocks, and this group kept on going this way, and this group kept on going up that way. You'd have thought those sheep would get confused or mixed up. They didn't have any problem at all because they knew their shepherd. They recognized his voice, and he knew them. He could tell which sheep were his, and they could tell which shepherd was theirs. If you're saved and a child of God, you know him, and he knows you. And you know his voice, and you can hear his voice and recognize his voice and follow him. The good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows every strength you have. He knows every weakness that you struggle with. He knows every joy that you have. He knows every burden that you bear. He knows every mountain that you have to climb. He knows every valley that you go through. He knows every victory, and he knows every battle. And he stands ready to help us when we're in time of need. He said, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's still Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide in Genesis 22:14. So we see his concern is proven by his sacrifice. His concern is proven by his sheep. And then thirdly, his concern is proven by his salvation. Proven by salvation. Look at verses 15 and 16. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus said, the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. What's he talking about? He said, I know the Father, Father knows me, I know my sheep, but there's some other sheep that aren't in the fold yet. I think that's involved, that has to do with us. We weren't alive when Jesus preached this message, were we? He could look down through the years of time and say, there's some more sheep coming down the road. They're going to be a part of this fold too. Aren't you glad he waited for you? Aren't you glad he called you? It's interesting because the Bible says in John 1:11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. His own people rejected him. But I'm glad there came a day in my life when I didn't reject him, but I trusted him and took him as my Savior. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him. Verse 11 says he came to his own received him not, verse 12 says, but as many as received him. I'm glad I'm in that received him and not received him not. Amen? As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and it is his salvation that's provided for us fully and freely. He proves his concern as the good shepherd by providing salvation for us, so that we could spend eternity with him. That salvation is complete and it is eternal. The good news is that Jesus died for every person in the world, including you and including me. And if we'll come to him and trust him and place our faith in him, he provides eternal life for us in heaven forever. There's no question this evening that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Amen? He's the Good Shepherd. The question is, do you know the Shepherd? Do you know Him? Do you know His voice? The thing that makes the difference between heaven and hell is if you know the Shepherd. He that hath the Son. Do you have the Son? Have you trusted Him? Have you put your faith and trust in Him? You know, it's interesting, and it's another whole message, and I'm not going to go there tonight other than just to say this. The shepherd invested heavily in the sheep. What did the sheep do for the shepherd? Well, they provided wool. They provided some things for the shepherd, didn't they? They reproduced and had more sheep. Suppose God wants us to reach other people and have more, help more sheep get into the fold. See, he gave everything when He died on the cross. And He asked so little in return. If we're His sheep and we've been born again, we want to serve Him. We want to live for Him. We want to be productive. We want to be an asset to the shepherd. Amen? When you stop and think about it, He owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold in them, their hills too. He owns it all. Does He need any? Now, if there's anything He needed, He could just speak it and create it, couldn't He? Does He need us? Well, He's self-sufficient. He doesn't really need us, but He wants us. He created us for the purpose of fellowshipping with Him. And He longs to have our fellow. You know, we're so blessed by having the right shepherd, the Good Shepherd, and by getting to know Him. I hope you know Him tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your example, analogy, picture that You give to us of the Good Shepherd. Thank You for Jesus, who is our shepherd. Would You help us to be attentive and sensitive to Your voice? Help us to know the voice of the shepherd and to know our shepherd. May we not be following off after some other hireling who's not really the shepherd. Somebody who all they care about is what they're going to get out of it. They don't care about the sheep. They just care about themselves. Thank You that we have a great shepherd who cares about us. May we care about others, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.